Good morning, International Church. How are you guys? It's a privilege, a pleasure, and it's awesome to see you guys. Although I see some of you are still wearing pajamas. And oh my gosh, that hair. I can't wait for the barbershops to open. Come on, guys. I took extra special care this morning to look fresh for you guys. Anyway, I'll try to focus with you looking the way you are. As we are gathered here today to talk about our faith. And now we can skip jokes and get to some serious things. I think probably, you know, we all are looking to deepen our faiths and live purposeful lives. And a lot of times we like to talk about different topics, discuss and exchange ideas. But probably the things that are most persuasive for us are stories and personal examples. It's actually those causes, those ideas, or those topics that stick a little bit closer to our hearts and impact our lives in a more powerful way. So I'm here this morning to share a little bit about my faith journey and some ideas that encourage and strengthen me through this journey. I don't know how many of you guys know, but I have been involved in social issues for the past odd years of my life. And I spent a few years in the fight against human trafficking. Now, because I did this, I know a lot of sad stories. I've heard a lot of sad stories. And going through this phase of my life, you start asking yourself some questions. One of which is basically, you know, you start to ask yourself, what am I actually doing? If there's something, if there's a change that I'm making, is there anything really that I am changing in the world? And going through this process and, you know, talking about human trafficking, hearing the stories, seeing the cases, I think it was interesting for me when I changed my focus towards working with youth in orphanages, because I got to see people that are going to be trafficked in the future. I've seen, I think in the past 2 years, I've probably seen about 1,000 kids. They're preparing to leave the foster care system in Romania, and they have all the red flags and vulnerabilities of people that are going to get themselves into trouble. People that are going to be taken advantage of and going to suffer greatly because they don't have the necessary life skills to cope with this. And it was interesting for me to make this transition from talking about cases where we already know most of the facts, going into potential cases of youth where we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but in the natural outcome looks a lot of times inevitable, especially the details. And then I think it was about 2 years ago when I participated in a meeting called Bucharest Without Orphans, kind of as a representative of the International Church. And that's where we, you know, different people from different churches talked about the need for children to be in families. And I started volunteering with this organization called Romania Without Orphans Alliance. And I did this for about a year and a half until basically we talked. And for the past 3 months, I am working for Romania Without Orphans. But it was a leap of faith for me. And it was a step down from, you know, the fruit of the tree to the roots of the issue. So basically going in and trying to think about how we can prevent these people from being trafficked. Even with human trafficking, I was working in prevention. Then when I was trying to train youth in order to have opportunities not to get themselves into vulnerable situations. But somewhere after about a year and a half of working with these kids, I've kind of thought about how, you know, we're trying to fix a mess. We're trying to fix something that was definitely not done right, because they weren't raised in families. They didn't have the love and care that we most of us had growing up. So basically, if we can get these kids into families, that fixes a lot of issues. It fixes a lot of poverty in some people's lives. A lot of people will probably not become victims of trafficking, probably. And then, you know, it has to do with literacy rates and all this kind of stuff. So basically, I've started working with ARFO for the past 3 months. And also, me and Diana have also decided to adopt a kid. And we're in the process, but basically, we had to pause it because of the whole country shutdown. But we're waiting for the restrictions to be lifted so we can start seeing kids that might become part of our family. So the topic for today, believe it or not, is adoption. And adoption, some might consider it a weird message for a Sunday service or an online Sunday service. That gives me some excuse. I'd like to start by saying that adoption is not something that you conjure up from the edge of the gospel and then make it seem all interesting. Adoption is not at the outskirts of the gospel. It's right at the core of the gospel. Because we are people that were called enemies of God. I hope you remember the passage. We are enemies of God, but Christ died for us so we can be adopted and come into the family of God so we can be called his children. So adoption is not somewhere at the edge of the gospel. It's not in the footnote of the Bible. It's at the core of the Bible, because God is most known by being a father. He's known as being a shepherd, a rock, all sorts of things. But oftentimes we hear about God being the father, and there's references in the Bible to talk about God as being the father of the orphans. Also, you see in the Old Testament, I like to say this quite often, in the Old Testament, the thing that you hear most often is love thy neighbor, love the foreigner, basically, love the foreigner. And it usually comes coupled with love the foreigner, take care of the widow and the orphan, right? So these are the three vulnerable groups you find most often being cited in the Bible. And then most often in the Old Testament, the encouragement that comes from God is be bold, be courageous, right? Have courage. But one of the vulnerable groups is the orphan, right? Is the child that is without a family. Also the widow and the foreigner. So we shouldn't be people of one cause and fight just for one vulnerable group. But we are talking about adoption today. Even with the widow, she would be wedding the brother of her ex-husband and then become part of the family again. And with the foreigner, it's a whole different topic. A more complicated process. But adoption is more in the center, because we were orphans. God even calls the Pharisees at certain points sons of the devil, right? Because the devil is the father of all lies. But God is opening his arms and inviting all of us to accept his love and become his children. So God has adopted us, he has redeemed us, he has created us free. We turned our backs on him, and he had to make a huge sacrifice in order to bring us back to him and bring us into his family so he can become his father. So oftentimes when we accept Christ, right, we say we are children of God. We are brothers and sisters with a common father, spiritual father, which is in heaven. So our true faith comes through the Holy Spirit in our lives and makes us be a part of this one big giant family. And, you know, a lot of communities say that they're family. You know, we're not just, yoga class or Pilates class, which Tiba attends, because obviously he gained some weight, you can see on the screen. But they say we're a family. Well, the ties are not as close when you have, you know, sometimes when you have a common objective, people become closer. But spiritual ties, like the ones we talk about in Christianity, are far deeper, especially when you're born again. You are born through the Spirit into the family of God after you've been redeemed and Christ has paid something for you. And so adoption is at the core of the gospel. It's something central in the message. So it should be something we talk about. And after we, second point would be adoption is a purpose and a means in the Christian life. So we said adoption is at the core of the gospel. Well, adoption is a purpose and a means for the Christian in his, faith life. It is a purpose because we are called to be imitators of God. And the gospel oftentimes tells us to basically do the same things that Jesus did. Right? Paul has a lot of spiritual children. And of course, there's different ways of adoption, but some are better than others, let's say it that way. Adoption is a purpose for a Christian. It's something we are called to do, take care of the orphan. There's a lot to talk about the differences between Old Testament legislation and New Testament legislation in order to actually dive into what adoption really means. I don't think we have time for that, and don't want to become boring now, because obviously some of you guys are still sipping your coffee. But we are called to adopt. That's what I believe. That's why I'm doing it. It's because God changed my life, my heart. And it's not something I'm doing because I'm going to score points, although in a Christian environment I might. But it's actually something, you don't get a lot of comfort from it. That's what I've heard, at least. We're called to adopt, and it's a purpose for us, and it's also a means of transforming who we are, right? So when God created us, I heard this rabbi talk about this a couple of days ago. He was saying that, God created man and he created woman. After he created Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And the idea of the rabbi was when man was created alone, he was on the receiving end of God's love. He was in Garden of Eden. He had everything he wanted. He had God with him. And he was on the receiving end of everything. And it wasn't good for man to be alone. Because you can't understand and learn what love is when you're only on the receiving end. You also have to be on the giving end. So God gave him a wife and gave him someone to love. Gave him someone to serve, to honor, to sacrifice for, and basically taught man what love was. And it was basically a way in which God was teaching man how to become more like God. And Christ is the ultimate example because he's the ultimate giver. He's the person that gave it all. He made the largest sacrifice by donating, giving away his life for the lives of others, for our lives. So marriage is a way in which God turns us more into people of his image, more into his likeness. Being parents is God's way of turning us more into his likeness. And adoption is the same thing. It's a little bit different, though, because it's not as natural. It's much more spiritual, and it has to be spiritual in order for it to be real. It's about selflessness. It's about being generous. And that teaches us how to be closer to God. Adoption shows you what unconditional love is about, because you're not forced to do it. There's no strings attached to it. It's more about giving than receiving. Also, adoption teaches you how to do something for the person you love, even when he's not doing anything to respond to you, right? You don't know the kid, maybe. But anyway, there's a high chance of some sparks flying in the air, but it's the same experience that God went through with all of us. God made the first step towards us while we were still his enemies, while we were very unappreciative of the lives we had and the fact that we are alive, maybe. I don't know. Everybody has their own stories. So adoption shows you what unconditional love is. It shows you what it means to do something for the other person and maybe not get a reply back. It shows you what true generosity is all about. It shows you the true meaning of unconditional love. And it's our faith that creates those acts that makes us, you know, makes faith more vibrant. Basically, it's like a circle. Faith feeds itself by good works, things we do from a good heart, and, you know, adoption is a way in which God builds us up and makes us more godlike, let's say. And a lot of people probably don't adopt because there's a lot of myths, like the fact that kids have this genetic predisposition. And basically, what the gospel says about that is God changes the names of those who are his friends and love him. There is also the myth of I'm not ready, although you probably should understand you're the best shot that kid is ever going to have. There's the myth of kids being unrecoverable, but the gospel says that love covers a variety of sins. It doesn't make them go away, but it covers them. And people think that it's hard. Well, hard also depends on motivation and why you're doing it. And some people say, well, I have kids. But when you adopt, it's not for you. It's not for the family. Adoption is not for families that don't have kids. It's for kids that don't have families. Okay. And getting close to my last point here. So we said that adoption is not something at the core of the gospel. It's not something at the outskirts. Adoption is a purpose and a means in the Christian life. And adoptum is a part of the church's DNA and the church's testimony. Throughout centuries, and I'm sure most of you guys have heard this before, throughout centuries, the church has been generally the social group that has been most active in reaching vulnerable groups. During the plague, it was Christians that would go in while everybody was leaving the cities, go in and try to help those that were in need. Christians were, in antiquity, the ones that would go and rescue the kids that were abandoned at the outskirts of the city, left by their parents because they weren't boys or healthy enough or whatever reason they used to have. There was a lot of child murdering, I guess you would call it, in antiquity, and especially in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. Not only, but those are the most documented periods of you know, there's more documentation regarding those cultures. And so Christians were the ones that would go and pick up those kids and adopt them into their own families. Later on, during the centuries, Christians were the ones that founded orphanages. But the best place for a kid is not in an orphanage. It's in a family. So, and I think we're in this period where we see a revival in the church's involvement in social issues. And I think we were a little bit nudged in that direction as well by the current circumstances in order to understand what it means to care for the elderly, care for the ones that are vulnerable and sick. But even in times of coronavirus, the most vulnerable people to the coronavirus are the people that were already vulnerable. Kids right now in orphanages are staying indoors, being locked up. And it's not the easiest thing to do, depending as well on the circumstances, because they can't see their friends. Let's just say isolation is easiest when you're in a family. And probably one of the most difficult places you can be in isolation is in an orphanage. And it's a part of the church's mission and DNA to get involved in social issues and in the lives of orphans because of probably the previous 2 points I raised. And to close things up, I guess all of you guys know the parable of the prodigal son. And in the parable, God is the prodigal lover. Some people call Tim Keller has a book called The Prodigal God. He is so generous. He is reckless in his generosity and in his giving. He is the patriarch. In the Eastern world, they call it the parable of the running patriarch, because, you know, they used to wear these long skirts back then. So in order to see a patriarch run, he'd have to raise his skirt, and you would see his legs, which, of course, would have been very shameful in those times. But his love is so reckless and so abundant, he just wastes it because he's happy to see his lost son. Then we have the older brother, which is the legalist, which is the guy that talks about high morals and being holy and what it means to be a saint and what's the right way of living, which is not bad, except for the fact that he's so jealous and envious. He's so bitter because, you know, his inheritance is gonna suffer quite a bit because his brother came back and his father decided to divide it up again. So, you know, the prodigal son basically was able to spend three quarters, and the older son was only able to spend one quarter. But his bitterness towards that makes him the legalist. And the prodigal son is the child that is, you know, hoping to find his father's acceptance when he comes back. The biggest treasure that we can gather or inherit or receive is God and his love. And I think a lot of times we live our lives like our comfort in what we accumulate in this life and in this world is everything. But it's not, or at least Christ says it's not. And if we want to look for the heavenly treasures, we can look for the people. We don't even have to look for them. We just have to pay attention to the people that need love the most. So this is an encouragement for you guys, actually, to think about adopting a kid. It's also a challenge to get involved in the lives of vulnerable people, orphans. Because oftentimes you don't, I wouldn't advise it. Just think, oh, now I heard a message about adoption, I'm going to go out and grab a kid. It might be useful to interact with some kids that need attention, probably from a placement center. I don't know. Go work with a family that needs some help. Spend some time with some kids that need attention. And, start investigating a little bit more about what it means to adopt. I'm also going to leave you guys with a link to a clip that's quite interesting and talks about adoption. But I'm also going to introduce the director of Romania Without Orphans. His name is Alex. He's going to share a little bit of his story with you guys. And I'll come back after him. All right.
Hello, my name is Alex Ilie. I'm executive director for Romania Without Orphans Alliance. And I have this great privilege of sharing with you this morning. I worked for Romania Without Orphans Alliance for, I think, the last 4 years. But the orphans were not always in my heart. I don't think I can say I'm one of those persons that I have necessarily a passion for orphans. But I know that always I have a passion for gospel. So I remember that about 11 years ago, Winati, my wife, we were involved in student ministry. We were very excited about. And one of the things that were crucial for us was the great commands, go and make disciples. So when we found that we might not have biological children, we thought that what would be the best way to make disciples. So I don't know how we got to the conclusion that the best way would be to adopt children. So we start this road to think about adoption. And we thought about adopting a very small child. we're saying to look more like Nati, less like me. But something that was very important for us was the question why we want to adopt. And we knew that we want to adopt, bless in a unique way somebody who is in need. So when we meet twins, that they has been told that they have zero chances to be adopted. We knew that they were for us. And they have zero chances to be adopted because they were twins. They were 7 years old at that time, and they were gypsy. So, and if you are in Romania for long enough, you know our prejudice against gypsies. So this way, Christy and Alina came to our life, and we adopted them in 2009. Now they just turned 18 years old. They are wonderful kids and promising young people. But when we decided to adopt, we didn't know that we adopted two kids that they went all trauma that you can imagine. Well, by God's grace, we had the privilege to see them receiving healing and growing. And yes, it was awesome. Well, after adoption, from time to time, we would receive emails or calls saying, hey, could you please pray for these children that they need a family? And we prayed. And about 2 years later, we heard about two other kids, or three and four, that needed a family. We prayed. And you know, sometimes God has a sense of humor. He doesn't do things the way we want. He does the way he wants. So we adopted. So he didn't provide another family, but he changed our hearts. So we adopted Karina and David, and we welcomed them in our family. So again, our family was upside down and adoptive. We needed to adapt to each other and so on. But we had the privilege to become parents again. Well, I think 6 years ago, 6 years ago, it was around Christmas, and we thought, how can we show around what Christmas means? And the joy that Christ came to earth and so on. So someone came with idea, what if we go to orphanages and see if there are not children who nobody takes them for holidays home? So we thought it would be very sad to spend Christmas in an orphanage. So we went to this orphanage in our city, and we found these three siblings that they are been told that they will remain there because all of the others will go to families or relative Etika. So I asked the director, so can we have them for 24, 25, or 25, 26? I don't remember how it was at that time, weekend. The director said, why did I take them for the whole vacation, meaning 3 weeks? I say, why not? Of course. So they came to our family, and it was probably the most difficult Christmas we ever had. So this is the way Denise, Andre, and Bianca came to our life. So after that Christmas, we took them every weekend, and then spring holiday, Easter holiday, and then summer holiday, 3 months. Over the years, they went differently, meaning Andre and Bianca, they decided to remain in orphanages. They are looking to be reunited with their family, even that's not possible. But Denisa decided to come to our family. So this is our family now. Nati, then Karina, David, Denisa, Alina, and Christy, and myself, and a dog. So this is the way we found about this world of children who need adoption. This is the way, and during this time I met Romania Without Orphans Alliance, an alliance built of NGOs, churches, different people helping in different capacities for this dream that every child will grow in a permanent family and know their Heavenly Father. So during this time, we also found that the big picture, So the big picture during these days is that we have 50,000 children in the system, and 50,000 children that they are, I could say, abandoned twice. They are abandoned by their, most of them abandoned by their families, biological families, but then they are abandoned by us, the whole society, who believe that we, our jobs, our families, our friends are more important than welcoming them in our families. Well, so 50,000 children in the system, 3,000 are adoptable, and only 1,000 children are adopted every year. So as you look at this picture, there are, you can see there are two gaps. The first one is between children in system and children adoptable. That's the big one. And that's a problem that we consider a problem of system. And we address that to lobby and advocacy, being one of the NGOs that work very hard to change legislation. Second gap, it's between children that are adoptable and those adopted. And that's another gap, even that is not that big as the first one. It's very important because it shows that even if we will have more children adoptable, we still have too few people adopting. So we call it, that's a mentality issue. And this is why we promote adoption. Another thing that we have is that we believe strongly what Psalm 68:5 says, God blesses the lonely in families. So we really believe that it would be great for us to be part of this awesome plan that God has.
I hope you guys liked Alex's testimony and found it inspiring. He was a little bit shy about his English. There's a need for more people to consider adoption in order to give these kids a fighting chance at life, and also to receive God's blessing that oftentimes comes not with an immense feeling of satisfaction, but oftentimes comes with a limp or with some pain. God's presence in our lives, so oftentimes that we are, when we are molded into His image, you know, that molding is a painful process. But I encourage you guys to seek God's truth, to pray about this issue, pray for kids that need adoption. There is also a praying chain on RFO's website, and you can try rfo.ro and it will lead you to the proper site, and you can sign up for a prayer chain. And I encourage to ask for God's voice for you guys on this topic, in order for us to be a blessing for those who need it the most and who are probably looking for it the most. I hope you guys have a wonderful Sunday and a good week ahead of you. Stay safe and enjoy this interesting period while trying to be as purposeful as possible and a good testimony to those people around us. May God bless you. Goodbye.